This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Watching that one. It was a fun game, though, because Anthony Edwards didn't do anything in that fourth quarter. And all of a sudden, as he does, and as superstars do in the playoffs, they come alive when it matters most. And that's what Stephen Curry did on Saturday. That's what Anthony Edwards did yesterday in their win over the Lakers to go up 3-1 in that series. And I think a lot of people are looking back and saying, yeah, maybe we overrated the Lakers. Because you know what? We do that with names. But you still got to play defense. There's two sides of the ball, Joe.
Yes.
And that's what was noticeable to me on Saturday, too, with the Warriors. Because we know defense is going to be there for the Rockets. The big question for them is always
the offense.
It's the offense.
But think of how different those two series feel. 2-2 and 3-1. Monumental.
Huge.
Monumental. And that's why tonight is massive for the Warriors.
Yep.
To go up 3-1, it puts you in such a driver's seat. There's really no other avenue than tonight is a must win. You have to hold serve on home court.
I'm just going to ask the question right now. 888-957-9570. After Saturday's win, do you need Jimmy Buckets tonight to play if you want to win this game? Do you need Jimmy Butler? 888-957-9570. That's what I want to ask as we're coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco, because there's part of me that wants to say, of course, I want Jimmy Butler. Of course, I would feel much better about winning this and going up 3-1 in a situation like this. But I'm thinking from the perspective of the younger guys, too. The confidence that must be instilled in them, like even with Jonathan Kuminga, who got the start, I don't think it was his greatest game, not by a long shot. I don't think he'll tell you that. It wasn't a very great performance for him. It was solid. But a guy like that, Moses Moody, who had been in the starting lineup all the time, he got kicked to the bench. I didn't hear him crying or complaining. Quentin Post, who I thought was great defensively, all those rebounds that he was able to grab, 12 in total for him. That was insane. Quentin Post led both teams in rebounds as a player. Şengün is on the other side and Steven Adams on the other side, and Quentin Post out-rebounded both of them. That's incredible. So the confidence in all of those guys, Podziemski as well, who had some timely buckets, like carrying over into tonight's game, that's a huge plus for them, because I do think you're going to get the Rockets' best swing. I don't know. I'm kind of is it crazy to say, Joe? I'm kind of leaning like holding Jimmy out the next couple days. So?
No, it's insane.
Is it?
If he plays.
But if he's still like sore and he's still hurting,
you play him.
Even if he's hurting a little bit still,
you can
Steph Curry
stop
the playoffs. You play him.
I mean, Steph Curry.
Just saying.
Steph Curry is nursing a thumb injury, a butt injury.
Ow.
And it looks as good as ever.
When
you're one of the top players in the league and you're making max money and your name is Jimmy Butler and you had the same exact injury in 2023 where you missed no time, yeah, you play if you can play.
So wait, you're saying they need him to win tonight?
No, I think he wants to play. I think he will play.
Okay.
I think it'll be a moot point regarding whether they need him or not. I think they won the one game without him. They got the house money. Now you bring them back and you step on their throats.
All right, still questionable with a pelvic contusion again.
Sounds like Celebrini and team, the trainer, they're the ones who held him out. That's what it, like kind of reading between the lines of the Slater report and some of the people that were reporting on it pregame. He was working out. It was going to be a game time decision. Sounds like the Warriors were the ones that preemptively took him out.
That sounds like your 60 seconds of Celebrini was right there for Rick Celebrini, not Macklin, of course. Do we know if Macklin's going to win the Rookie of the Year, by the way?
We're probably not.
What?
I
just
would say,
the motivation he needs.
I would say to this team and to Jimmy and the trainers, if you win tonight, you can go back to Houston. You can kill shot them in the second half of the Houston game, for lack of a better word, sorry. And then you get a little bit of time off and you can observe what happens with Timberwolves Lakers and breathe a little. And then Jimmy can rest after the series is over. That's the way I would be approaching this.
888-957-9570 is the number. Do you need Jimmy Butler tonight, Dub Nation? And what was your biggest takeaway from that win for you, like going forward in this series? Because for me, it was Quentin Post. I think for a lot of people, it might be Buddy Hield in his performance. I know a lot of people were questioning Buddy Hield, and you had to, because we haven't really had a Buddy Hield game in a win. We've had Buddy Hield games in losses. I think Buddy Hield's last best game was probably against the Houston Rockets. Yeah. And it was a loss. And it was a regular season game.
3 weeks ago?
Exactly. Then it was on that Sunday night, right, at Chase Center. And it came in a loss. So, like, whenever we had Buddy games, it was like, well, we can't really talk about it. Oh, it was the Buddy Hield game. We say it tongue-in-cheek, and it was an L. No, this wasn't a win. You had Gary Payton stepping up. I mentioned Quentin Post. Draymond Green defensively was all-time and showed why he was a DPOY candidate. And I thought it was very, very good for Draymond Green. Take the high road. I know he was feeling some type of way about not winning the DPOY, but celebrating Evan Mobley when asked about it. He's like, hey, Evan's grown tremendously as a player. He was great. He deserves it.
For a second.
It was, what?
He didn't deserve to win it this year. It's okay. That doesn't mean he didn't have a great year. He had a great year, but if you look at the last month or so of the season, he didn't do well against the other bigs. Now, those guys are talented. They outsize him height and weight-wise, and he didn't finish the season the way that he needed to if he wanted to win the award, and that's okay. That doesn't take away from a great year from Draymond. He played more games than I anticipated. He played better offensively than I ever anticipated, and he was his vintage defensive self, except down the stretch when they needed to slow down some bigs. I thought that some of those bigs had his number. Karl Anthony Towns, Aaron Gordon. Like, I can go right down the list. Evan Mobley had a banner season. They had a banner season. Good for him. It's okay. It doesn't mean that Trey sucks. It doesn't mean that he didn't have a great year. All these things could be true all at once. And so, yeah, he did take the high road in that, but I also didn't think he deserved the year.
Well, you said the word right there. They had a great season. Draymond Green had a really elite couple months here since the Jimmy Butler acquisition. That's not enough to win the DPOY. Yeah. I think we get jaded.
Yeah. And I don't think he finished.
Exactly.
It's defensively.
Correct.
And the way that I wanted
The old adage is not how you start, how you finish. No. When it comes to the award season, it's the entirety of the regular season.
Exactly.
It's all, you know, Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green. You know, that's great. There's this whole, like, first half of the season that the Cleveland Cavaliers dominated. The entire season, they dominated. They dominated those matchups against you, actually. Evan Mobley in particular.
The difference between right now, between the West, when you watch the playoffs, gosh, and then you watch the East, the level of intensity just drops. You can feel it off the screen.
I don't think anything's happening there that's out of the norm. I've actually been impressed.
Like Detroit.
With Detroit, and I thought they got hosed. That Josh Hart absolutely fouled. Who was that? Tim Hardaway, yes, in the corner? Like, come on, man. And poor Detroit. I get it. They're feeling some type of way about
it. That atmosphere was sweet.
It was awesome. You don't post about it on your social, though, about the lack of a non-call. I thought that was kind of like, that's showing they're green. They'll know, but, like, you don't go outwardly and say it was a bad call, and they post it in big font from your player saying it was a bad call. But they're going to be licking their wounds. That was a tough L for them. I don't believe in the Knicks at all, by the way, going forward. I don't. I thought with all those trades that they had in the offseason last year, bringing in Karl Anthony Towns, Mikal Bridges, I thought they might have had something. I just don't think Jalen Brunson can be your best player and guy you lean on in closing minutes to win it for you.
He's on the floor with that ankle, calf. I don't even know what that was.
The foul baiting that he is doing. I know we like to get on James Harden and Luka. Jalen Brunson, oh my God, dude. Get up.
Yeah.
Stop.
But he's a little guy, and so for whatever reason, people find it endearing. And he plays for the New York team.
No, New York team.
I know. I
haven't done anything my entire life. Please. Steve Kerr, his thoughts on a big win without Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, it's a big-time win. I mean, you could see we were out of sorts early. You know, with Jimmy out, we changed the starting lineup. We went to some combinations that we've barely played all year. And it took a while for us to find some rhythm. But I thought what kept us in the game was our defense. You know, they got up, I guess, 13 at the most. But, you know, these days, 13 doesn't feel like that big of a deficit. And I thought the key to the game was the way we closed the second quarter, you know, to pull within three and get some momentum. And we felt pretty good at halftime as a result.
No Jimmy, no problem.
It was 34-22 in the second quarter. Steve Kerr calls a timeout. And then, like, he's not happy. He's just not happy. No. Then they go trading baskets. At one point, it's 49-37 Rockets. They're up 12 with 2:24 to go.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow, some way, after a couple of buddy buckets, a couple Steph plays, it's 49-46 at half. And I felt like the Warriors had all the momentum heading into the half after playing a really poor second quarter overall.
Well, a big play in that was the Steph block on Fred VanVleet, Feeds Buddy, as you talked about, the touchdown pass.
Yeah, that was a great play by Steph. And one of the better plays of the year from him.
Here's how it sounded. Tim Roy, 95.7 The Game.
VanVleet over to Jalen Green. He'll dribble, drive on Curry. Back out to VanVleet. Run off the line. Pajemski steps in. Shoots over Curry. Blocked by Curry. Curry with the ball. Baseball pass. Heeled. Layup. Good! On the break.
Got Steph Curry with the block shot.
Steph Curry, the defender. 7-0 run for the Warriors.
He said baseball throw. More of a Shedeur Sanders throw, if you will. Right down the middle. Fifth round pick going to Cleveland Browns, by the way. Shedeur Sanders. Sanders, the slide of the season, of the offseason, I should say. We'll touch on it at some point today because there was a draft.
Because there's just not enough Shedeur content out there, huh?
Hey, you were real quick, you were thinking about it if you're the Niners. You were thinking about it in the face, like, you know?
Possibly.
There was a guy with a torn ACL in the seventh, and we just couldn't resist.
Who was that guy?
Indiana quarterback.
Curtis Rourke. Yeah, the Indiana quarterback. You didn't even know who it was. Curtis Rourke. Not Mickey Rourke. Curtis Rourke. There you go. But they did go five. Their first five were on the defensive side of the ball. We'll get to the 49ers draft at some point, I promise. Joe Shasky will have his grade. I know he's big on grade, so he's going to go his full Mel Kiper here. And there was a full Mel Kiper meltdown over the weekend that we also have to react to because it was crazy, to say the least. So we'll get into that. Also, there was an interview over the weekend with Bill Belichick on CBS this morning. Cringe doesn't even put into words. Like, that isn't even the word I'm looking at. There's something greater than cringe that took place with Bill Belichick in this interview and his girlfriend. Very odd. And we need to break it down, Joe, because I know you're all in on Billy B in the offseason. That is Bill Belichick, now head coach over with North Carolina football. So definitely got to get into that at some point.
You better be careful.
We're talking Warriors. We're talking Rockets. We're going up 2-1, Stephen A. Don't worry. And we got Leroy in Oakland who wants to join the conversation because I think Leroy's feeling like I'm feeling. I'm considering sitting Jimmy tonight. I think we can win without him. Leroy, good morning. How are we feeling about that win, man?
Man, I'm feeling great. Good morning, guys. And I tried to hit you guys, I think it was on Thursday or Friday last week. And, you know, I was like, man, I hope they sit Jimmy Saturday because, you know, I want to see if the Warriors have learned to win without him. I wanted to see if Jimmy had infused enough in those young guys, enough toughness, you know, enough, you know, oomph in those young guys to go, hey, you can do this, because I was watching the young guys when Jimmy was out there and he just infuses this toughness and I can do anything in the young guys. So I was like, okay, Jimmy's going to be out Saturday. Let me see if these guys have picked up on some of Jimmy's, you know, toughness. And boy, they really played well. I didn't expect them to get that game the way that they got it. So I was like, hey, if we have two games without Jimmy, and if we can get one, because I was expecting Curry to have a 35, 40-point game if they set Jimmy two games. I was expecting Curry to blow up on one of those games and for us to get one of those games. So I'm like, hey, now that we got the first one, definitely sit Jimmy. Let him rest. I think, you know, Curry is feeling it now. I think Curry is starting to smell it now. You know, when you're a champion so many times, it's this point and thing where you start smelling it. Mm-hmm. And I don't think Curry's going to let up. I don't care if they put two, three people on him. We've seen him do it before. He is the most spectacular player we have seen in, you know, just 20, 30 years. And I think he's dialed in. So I don't think, no matter what Houston does, I think Curry's going to show that championship medal and just start doing what Chef does. And so Houston's in trouble.
You know, Houston's got a problem. Thanks, Leroy.
I disagree with him. I think that you can't mess around because if you lose tonight, it just changes the whole dynamic for the rest of the week and this team. And you just don't want to play with your food here.
Well, I'm actually protecting Jimmy Butler in this scenario because maybe there is still some soreness. And the last thing I want to do is put a compromised Jimmy Butler out there tonight, Joe.
Sounds like it's pain tolerance, okay. Not like you can you know, injure it further.
But even if it's pain tolerance, he's playing through something that's going to be bothering him that might hamper him just a little bit today. And you lose this game with Jimmy Butler. All of a sudden, that swings the momentum back to the Houston Rockets saying, okay, well, we just beat this team again with their best player. Like, their only win in this series was basically without Jimmy Butler in the game. So there is still the mental edge there for the Warriors that, hey, once we have Jimmy for all the game, we're 1-0 against them. We get him back today.
You have to go out and have to play. Like, I get the whole mental part of it, but to me, this is about, like, just like, you have to go out and play and execute, and they need to win. To rely on, again, I'm not saying that they can't get these contributions, but 33 combined from Buddy and GP2, I don't know if I could bank on that without Jimmy again.
Well, I don't think that Pods is going to be that bad again. I don't think that Moses Moody is going to be that bad again.
Pods had one game, and now I know he's sick, so let's throw that away.
Exactly.
But it's not like he's a scorer at heart.
He's due, though. I think some of these players, these role players for the Warriors are due. And that's why I think tonight, if Jimmy does play.
You've got the role player contributions, though.
Again, well, someone else step up. Like, that, great. I didn't expect to get the Buddy Hield game and the Gary Payton game at the same time. I'm glad it worked out that way. But someone else is going to step up. That's what happens in these playoffs. Guys where you least expect it. Like, I think that's what was so impressive to me as well. And I am reacting to what I saw yesterday a little bit too, because on Saturday I thought Steve Kerr had a coaching masterclass, and I thought JJ Redick for the Lakers had a coaching disaster class, if you will. He played, and for those of you who just joined us who didn't watch the game, maybe you weren't up to it, I thought it was a great weekend of sports in general, whether it was the draft or there was NBA playoffs, all baseball's on fire. It was great watching of sports heading into May next week. This is a prime time of the year for me. But the Lakers and JJ Redick played all of their starters. Or I shouldn't say started, because I guess Dorian Finney-Smith didn't start technically. But basically, all their players in the second half played the entire second half.
Played the same five.
Same five.
For every minute.
For the entire second half. Didn't get a break at all. And it showed late in that game. It showed. The young guy of Anthony Edwards, who did get some rest along the way, he was fresher than Luka, than LeBron. LeBron was probably the freshest guy, and it's pretty sad that a 40-year-old has to be your best defensive player on that team, and that just goes to show that team is where it's at. But relax. I heard what you had, a little snide comment over there. Chill. But that's what showed up to me over the weekend. Coaching still matters, guys. I know the stars. In basketball, we like to think the coaches don't matter. It's just the stars. No, coaching matters. Especially in the scenario where we saw Jimmy Butler was out and Stephen Curry was there, and maybe Steve Kerr was buying Steph a few extra minutes in that fourth quarter, but he played 41 in total.
Well, he never starts the fourth quarter.
I think
that's a great wrinkle that they went with. They started him in that fourth quarter, took him out, put GP2 in, and then subbed him back in, and he got multiple timeouts because of television timeouts. Mm-hmm. And so really the real time, you know, sit down for Curry was probably closer to 10 or 15 minutes as opposed to the whatever 2 or 3 minutes that he ended up sitting on the bench. Look, they've done zones. They've done specific doubles. They've gone to a 2-3. They've gone to a 1-3-1. They've changed some of their offense. Seems to be a little more Steph bring the ball up the floor more than we're accustomed to. I mean, there was even a point where you saw Steph said to GP2, give me the damn ball.
Yeah.
As he's coming up. So they've done a lot of really good wrinkles. I like that with Jimmy Butler out of this game, the floor in the middle opened up and GP2 took clear advantage as opposed to being in that dunker spot, meaning baseline side. He had the ball in his hand at the top of the key and did that fake handoff to Steph Curry as he's coming off the action, and it just draws so much attention. And then boom, you saw three different layups in the late third quarter into the fourth quarter for GP2. It was brilliant.
Stephen Curry talked about it after the game on how unbelievable Gary Payton II was, with his father also in attendance.
Gary was unbelievable, taking advantage of the double team up top, getting in the paint, finish at the rim, the big three in the corner, and obviously what he does on defensive end. So, you know, he's been around too. He was part of the 22 championship team. He knows what it takes.
Let's not forget that. Gary Payton II is a champion still, and championships matter in series like this when you're going up against the only other team, the only player that has a championship on the opposing team is Fred VanVleet, who showed up in the first quarter. He was great. Only made one shot after that. One shot.
Yeah, I know.
One. But those ones, we felt like that was the Fred, like we were all waiting. You were talking about it. there's going to be a game where Fred VanVleet goes off. I think that was it. He had 17 points in total and wasn't very efficient.
I still think that the Rockets are a threat to the Warriors here, and that's why I don't want to mess around. I will play Jimmy. This is what you signed up for. This is why you got him.
They will be their most threatening, I think, tonight. This is the game.
This is why I need Jimmy.
Their backs are against the wall, and they're going to come out swinging. I just don't know if they have the offense to do it. Like, it's one thing to play desperate, but you have to contribute offensively to do that. I just don't know if they have the guys to do it. And what I saw from the Warriors defensively was ferocity on Saturday. They rose to the moment when it mattered most, and it's the Rockets who didn't score 100 points. Not the Warriors. The Rockets didn't score 100 points on Saturday, and they had all their guys healthy in it after Jalen Green dropped 30 on their ass. What did he do? Didn't even hit double figures. He had 9 points.